let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio today with Father John Wargle. Welcome back, Father John. Good to see you.
It's great to be here.
We got a big day today of the second installation of the Abrahamic covenant with God. It's hard to imagine. I mean, this whole thing is just unbelievable to me. God coming down and breaking into humanity, just like he did, of course, in the Garden of Eden with Abraham, this nobody guy that no one knew about in the middle of all these other things that are going on in the world.
Yeah.
So the first part of the covenant is that he makes an agreement with Abraham to, and he just tells him about, if you do this, if you listen to me, obey me, have faith in me, and go to this land from the place where you're living and everything is going well, pick up and just roll out.
That's right.
Then I will give you things. I will make a covenant with you. So that was number one.
That's chapter 12, right? And you know, I think that can be directed to every one of us.
Sure, yeah.
Because when you follow God, he's always saying, get out of your comfort zone. I'm taking you somewhere. So Abraham's calls, like all of our calls, okay? And we talked last week about how there is a structure, okay? You've got four chapters that are interspersed throughout the Abrahamic cycle of stories, 12, 15, 17, and 22. Now, I'm not sure if it's a good idea to just go ahead and hit those chapters like we're doing now, or we should probably maybe go methodically through chapters 12 into 13 into 14 and then get to 15.
Yeah.
But this is what I decided, so this is what we have.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's good. And I think the first one, the very first one where we did an overview to talk about the whole thing, that was a good idea. And then the last one that we did where we were just talking about chapter 12 and that initial agreement.
You know. Right. Yeah, so that's that. I just want us to really see, you know, in one fell swoop, actually four podcasts, you know, just really focus on the elements of the covenant.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So
we're on chapter 15.
15, yeah. And I'll just read some of it, okay?
Okay, great.
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Danny, when I read these words growing up, I don't know what it is. It's just so beautiful. Okay, this encounter with promise. It says, fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. And this translation has it, your reward shall be very great. Now, that's attractive. Don't you want God to come and say, hey, you know, don't be afraid.
It's hard to imagine, again, really.
Don't be afraid. I'm going to give you a great reward.
Yes.
Now, it could also be read as, fear not, Abraham, I am your shield, your very great reward. In other words, I am the ultimate reward that you could ever have.
Yeah. So God, the great reward.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It can be translated in either way. And usually the more recent versions have it, I am your shield, your reward shall be very great. Because it follows with the next thing, which is Abraham saying, well, God, you know, this sounds good, But you know, you did promise me years back that I was going to have the seed. Remember that there's children, you know, the nation's going to come. I'm going to make a great nation. Okay.
Right. And then I was going to have heirs to pass on this incredible land to.
Right. Yeah. So where are they?
Yes. Right.
It does seem a little bit like a slap in the face, but it this is his main concern. You promised. Where is the fulfillment?
Right.
And as we know, Danny, when God promises, usually it takes his good old time.
Yeah. Okay. God's time. Yeah.
God's time. That's right. It. Yeah. Okay. And he says, well, at this point, I've been talking to my lawyers, and I've got this guy who's in my household, Eliezer. He's the one that's in the will right now. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And God said, this is not going to happen. You're going to have your own progeny through your own wife. Okay.
So, yeah.
Right. So God answers him a legitimate concern. And the Lord came to him. He says, this man shall not be your heir. Your own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and number the stars. No one can do that, right?
Right, so, yeah. This is one of my favorite scripture quotes.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yep. It's very poetic. Can you number him?
No, I can't. Yeah. You just look at the sky. Remember, of course, we talked about this before. The night sky for Abraham must have been like astounding.
Yeah, right.
And he says, so shall your descendants be. And it says that he believed God, even in the face of him taking his time and bringing a promise around. He believed God, and God reckoned to it as righteousness. I don't think we should read too much heavy theology here.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
You could almost translate it as, and it pleased God.
Okay.
Because it's the attitude. Remember, faith is both attitude. It is an attitude. It's like what Eve and Adam were supposed to have in the garden, an attitude that, hey, what? Number one, God's got his best in mind for me. He knows what he's doing. He promises, I believe. That's a good attitude.
Yeah.
Therefore, number two, the second thing that comes with that is that I will not take matters in my own hand, right?
Sure, right, yeah, because if you have that kind of faith and attitude, then, of course, that's going to be your action. Your action is going to be to just have faith in God and allow things to play out.
That's right. But we also know in the next chapter, chapter 15, that even Abraham, the father of faith, took matters in his own hands.
Mm.
And so he had a child through Hagar, Sarah's maid.
Right.
Okay. He couldn't wait.
Yep. Sorry, Abraham.
Okay. So he said, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur the Chaldees to give you this land to possess. And they said, the second question, but the first question was up there, okay. Oh Lord, what will you give me for I continue childless? Here's the second question that he asked God. Mm-hmm. Oh Lord, how am I to know that I'm going to possess it?
Right.
Okay. Now this is not a lack of faith. Okay. What he's really asking, and what really transpires, is a covenant, which is an objective ceremony that is in space and time, like a liturgy, that accompanies the promise.
Right.
Okay. It's kind of like it stamps it with the dignity of an agreement.
Yes.
Okay. So this is what happens, right? God says to bring him, a heifer, a she-goat, a ram, turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Okay. And this is what cutting a covenant is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's to make a covenant is actually to cut a covenant. That's the literal Hebrew, right?
Yeah.
Karat is, you can always remember what cut means. Karat sounds like what?
Karate. Oh, karate.
That's how I always remember these Hebrew words, right?
Right.
Yeah. You cut a berit, okay? Not a burrito, okay? A berit.
Okay.
I think I'm digressing here.
Yeah. You think Holy cow. You're making me want to go to Las Aztecas for Mexican food or something.
Yeah. Okay. So you split these animals, okay? And that prepares the ceremony. Now, the sun was going down, a deep sleep. I like this Hebrew word, tardema, okay? It's a very rare word, but it's used previously with Adam, when God put him asleep to take out
the rib.
The rib, you know, for Eve, right?
Yeah.
So this takes us back. This will take the Hebrew back to that very crucial time.
Yeah. Well, there's a thing. They're connecting.
They're connecting.
Connecting those two things.
You wouldn't know that and didn't know the Hebrew, but there's a connection there.
Mm-hmm.
That what's going on here is as important as what happened when Eve was created, right?
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John. Yeah. Well, there's a thing. They're connecting.
They're connecting.
Connecting those two things.
You wouldn't know that and didn't know the Hebrew, but there's a connection there.
Mm-hmm.
That what's going on here is as important as what happened when Eve was created, right? So, and this was not a sweet dream. I'm sure it was terrifying. Okay.
Can't even imagine.
Darkness is not a normal darkness. It's, he's taken him into a deep and dark and mysterious place.
Yep. And then wild things happen with lots of fire.
That's right.
And that's scary in itself.
Oh, yeah. And that's coming in a minute. But, you know, when this fell upon him, the Lord, you know, he's incapacitated. You can't do anything now. He's just there, only can receive. There's a prophecy of the fact that his family, which God's going to create, which is by promise, is going to end up in a land that's not theirs. And end up a slave.
Okay. Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's an important thing, okay, because this is a prophecy. And that what happens to his family is ordained. And there's a lot we'll say about it. We can talk about more of that when we get to the Exodus, okay? But here we'll just say this, you know, this is an important prophecy. And there's another thing, too. It wasn't time for him to take this land. Because the sin of the Amorites was not yet filled. We'll talk more about that later, too.
Okay, so some things have to happen before he is going to acquire the
God
land.
Could not justify Abraham taking the land from the Amorites, especially by holy war and violence, because they just weren't wicked enough for him to step in with judgment.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So but he knows it's going to happen, but there's a timeline.
That's right. That tells you that God cares about the Amorites.
Yeah.
If he didn't care about them, say, oh, okay, just wipe them out and that type of thing. No, he cares. He cares about it all.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk more about that later. Okay. So the sun had gone down. It was dark. Behold, here's what you saw, that smoking furnace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who knows what the furnace looked like, but it was a terrifying light because what we have here is a theophany. We know what theophany is, right? Don't we? Yeah. A theophany is a God appearance.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yep. Right. And it takes different forms, but often there's a bright light or fire that's associated with it.
Sure. Yes.
We'll see that in Exodus 3 when God comes to when Moses comes to the burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
Fire. Okay. God is fire, right? Uncreated light. Okay. And it was passing between these pieces. Now, what's going on here? Okay. There are various kinds of treaties that were common in the ancient Near East. They're called, the main ones is the suzerain treaty. Okay.
Yeah.
And there can be two different kinds of these kind of treaties. It could be obligatory, which means, let's say a king and a lesser king, called a vassal, will come together, and they want to make a covenant, make sure that they have boundaries, that they have agreements that have to be kept.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would split these animals, and they would pass through these pieces, and they would recite the terms of the covenant.
Okay.
And this is a great visual, because what they were saying is, if I break any of these terms, may what happened to these animals happen to me.
Right. Yeah.
That's very vivid. I like how these contracts were done back in the day.
I wouldn't want to sign one of those today.
It's different than going down the street to the law office, right? Yes, and signing right. your name. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. 50 Ooh. Times, you know, to buy a house. 50
yeah,
this,
right.
This one. Yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, going down to the farm, getting an animal, cutting it up.
And, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, you're right. That's a real visual.
Yeah. Now, the important thing here is that this is not an obligatory covenant in the sense that only God passes through the pieces. It's what we call a treaty of grant, okay?
Okay.
Which is, I'm going to do it. Whatever happens, I am going to accomplish this. And it's on me if I don't. In other words, may what happened to me happen. You know, God is saying that about himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, think about that. So,
but if God says that,
mm-hmm.
it's going to happen.
It's going to happen because he's not going to get cut up in pieces.
Right. Right. Well, he's not going to get cut up in pieces, and he doesn't lie. I mean, that's who
right.
God is.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a treaty of grant, or I should say it's also a promissory. You can use the word promissory for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's obligatory and there's promissory covenants. Okay, if we looked at the creation covenant, that would probably be more obligatory.
Okay.
Don't touch a tree, or don't not touch a tree. I fell into the Satan's trap there just now. She said, neither shall you touch it.
Right.
But you don't eat the fruit from that tree, right?
Yeah.
If you do, there's consequences. But there's always promise in obligatory covenants, even though they tend to be more of an obligatory type. Okay, because a promise is if you obey, good things happen, right?
Right, sure.
In the Noahic covenant, that's more promissory as well, even though there are terms to it. Okay, in other words, you have responsibility. Still, God made a promise. He says, I am not going to destroy the earth again
yeah.
by water. Okay. Here, it's promissory. God's saying, I'm going to do this. Basically, I'm the one passing through the pieces.
Yeah.
So that's important to realize the types of covenants there are. The creation, obligatory, Noah, promissory, and Abrahamic, more promissory.
Okay.
But again, that doesn't mean he doesn't have responsibilities.
Right. So God's making a promise.
Right.
And that he's walking through, and he's going to keep.
That's right. And so the promises are always impossible. It's impossible for you and me. We've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
And we live by these promises. They motivate us. They motivate faith. You can't really have faith without promises, right?
No, right, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And these promises come from encounters.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have it. We have this very intense drama, Danny. I mean, God is so dramatic. And the promises for Abraham, remember, it's seed, but it's land.
Mm-hmm.
And he's waiting for the seed. He's waiting for this promise of his son, right? And at this point, not happening. But he believes. He looks up the sky and he sees the stars and he says, I believe.
Yeah.
And that pleased God.
He right. Well, I was going to say, God believed him too. Right? I mean, God recognizes that Abraham's attitude is right.
Yeah. And that is how relationship happens, when you mm-hmm. have that mutual trust.
Yes.
Right. And so God's really pleased with Abraham. As a matter of fact, Abraham's called the friend of God.
Mm.
Wouldn't you love that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, right. But then there's also this idea of land as well, and that's very important too. And in this part of the covenant, right? We said that chapters 12 and chapters 15 have to do with seed and land, but land is more prominent here. He's talking about the land and how he's going to get it, when and how. Okay, in the next two chapters, there'll be more emphasis on the seed. But Danny, what about the land here? What do you want to ask about
the land? So the land, you had written that it was part of a divine promise.
Right.
And so does that just mean that it's from God? It's part of this covenant. The land part of it is part of this covenant, and it's divine because it's from God? It's part of God's promise?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, well, we said this before, and I want to reiterate it. It's not just a piece of real estate.
Right.
Okay. It is a land promised by God, and therefore it has heavy symbolism. And that symbolism, we always go back to the original idea of land, and that is the Garden of
Garden
Eden.
Garden of Eden, yeah.
Yeah. So he is essentially saying that he's going to reestablish his presence on earth in this land he's promising that was lost at the fall.
Mm-hmm.
That was his intention. That's his intentions for Abraham, that he would dwell in this land with them, making it holy.
Yeah. So it's not just a physical place. It's
right.
It's so much more spiritual. And the people hearing these stories over and over again would
right.
have recognized that right away,
yeah.
that it's a spiritual environment we're talking
another
about.
Another way of saying it's sacred space.
Okay.
And we've talked about sacred space earlier on in Genesis and in Eden.
Yeah.
So that's how they would think. They would think in these terms.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So chapter 15. Make sure you check out ancienthopes.org and take a look at that post.
Yep. And next week will be chapter 17. And that's going to be a wild. Okay.
Okay.
It's going to be wild.
Good. Okay, good. Thanks for coming in.
Okay. God bless. Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.